Welcome back, everyone, to Lunchtime. I'm Noah Hiles. He is
John Bozica.
And I think what we're going to do on Mondays from here on out is we're going to talk about the weekend that was.
Okay.
Kind of copying another program, I believe.
Yeah, the week here. That was.
Yeah, no, but just what happened over the weekend. I think there were two big stories, at least in the world of, you know, modern media, social media. The two main storylines, I think, that we saw online this weekend. One was on Saturday and Sunday, and one was on Sunday night after the original one started, and that was the XFL, the first four games of the XFL, the opening week, if you will. And then story two was, of course, the Oscars.
Mm-hmm.
Was that 85 years now, the Oscars?
It's a number of them.
Something along those lines.
It's an old boy at this point.
Oscars, he's in a wheelchair now instead of standing at the podium. But
yeah, Oscar,
so John,
Academy is, yes, in a wheelchair.
John, while we get started here, did you watch either one of these, the XFL or the Oscars?
I watched five downs of the XFL, probably.
Okay.
I was not entertained. I thought it was second-rate football.
Which game did you watch?
I watched the Vipers and
So the first one on Sunday?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I didn't even watch that much of it, as I said. I mean, I honestly thought while I was watching it, I was like, okay, all these guys that are playing here, they were rejects from the NFL.
Yeah.
That's the first thing I thought of. So, to me, it already lost me right there.
Okay, so here are my thoughts on the XFL. And I think the debate of today's show should be what was more entertaining this weekend, the XFL or the Oscars?
Mm-hmm.
The XFL intrigues me for these reasons. One, I like to see the different rule changes. I love what they did with the kickoff. I think the NFL should implement that immediately.
I saw one kickoff and it didn't make it any more exciting.
Well, I think it gives an incentive to actually return it, one. And two, it takes away a lot of injury risks out of it. And I think it just adds a different dynamic. You can do a little bit more. I like that. I think at all levels of football should adopt that style of kickoff, because that's where a lot of head injuries occur on that play.
Okay, that's
so
fair.
I like that, and I like the access to a certain extent. I like the access. I like the coverage. I loved how gambling was on the lines and everything were on the scoreboard.
I didn't like that.
See, that's the future of sports. Like, it's going to be legal in every state in the next decade here.
See, and I guess because I never have a desire to, like, gamble on sports.
But
like,
as a broadcaster, that's going to be something. I guess if you're only calling high school, probably we'll never have to deal with that.
I mean, I want to eventually call more than high school, but, like,
yes,
I also
that's
don't.
That's going to be something that it's that's here. That's
I
the
also
future.
Don't see the need in, like, gambling in sports. I know other people do, but it's not something that I'm really,
yeah, but that's
inclined
that's
to do.
Why a lot of people are going to watch sports in the future. So
that's fine.
And that's kind of my last point was, you talked about the quality of the football that was being played, and I agree it wasn't great, but I would compare the quality of that game to maybe like a game between Toledo and Kent State, or something like a MAC game, or Northwestern versus Illinois. And I watch those games on Saturdays. They're not the games I look forward to. It's not appointment television, but nonetheless, I think the quality of football is that of a Division I average college football game, which I will watch when there's nothing else on. I watch MACtion. I watch, you know, those Thursday night games, and mainly because I can gamble on it, and I plan to gamble on the XFL once it's legal in Ohio. Wink. But more accurately, I plan to gamble on it once I kind of learn a little bit more about the teams. But I think this is good enough to work. I don't think it's good enough to work on main cable. Like, I don't think it's good enough to, you know, be a staple on a Sunday afternoon on Fox or ABC. But I think this could work if it's on an ESPN2, an ESPN News type channel.
Okay, I'm going to go back to yesterday at the time that this was on, and give you two other options that I would have watched before watching this. There was a golf tournament at Pebble Beach,
yes,
which I was much more inclined to watch because, one, Phil Mickelson was near the top, and he's part of my fantasy golf team, which I'm like one of the only people in this world,
mm-hmm,
that does fantasy golf, but I'll live with that title. And then, two, if you're a local fan, both Kirsten Bell and Taylor Mikesell played for their college teams yesterday. So if you're here in Canton, you might find a little bit more interest in that. I at least would, because I think it's better. It's a higher level of sport still, because it's, you know, girls that are actually trying their hardest.
Compared to the XFL, you don't think they were trying?
I mean, they were, but it was like second-rate football. Who cares?
Compared to what?
compared to women's college basketball. I'd much rather
watch.
Yes, every day of the week.
You're in the very large minority.
XFL football is second-rate football. And it always will
be. I'm not gonna keep going down this road. What I'm just saying is not many people would say that any kind of football is less entertaining than college basketball for girls. And that's just facts.
I mean, there were a lot of good men's games yesterday too, though.
There were a couple, yes.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, if you have the choice of watching something that's in season now.
But I think it was interesting. I don't know if it has staying power yet.
I think based on the crowds, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't. But that's another thing. I think that if they had it in certain, like, I would love it if Canton had a team. I would love it. There's other areas in the country who I think would support a team like that. I think you could get 15,000 a game if there's a Canton team.
Yeah, but what's the difference between that and, like, Maslin playing on a Friday night?
They're professional football players.
I'd much rather watch Maslin than those kids.
I get it, John, but you're not...
No, but I'm not saying that because of saying that it's second-rate football. I'm just saying that...
I know, but
because it has no bearing on the sports world, but like, what happens
in the
XFL.
It's the first week of
it. Yeah, but it has no bearing on the sports world. Like,
what do you mean?
Like, it just doesn't matter. It's not the NFL. It's not the NHL.
It's the first year of the league. It's the first year of the league. What do you mean it doesn't matter? Of course it doesn't matter. They've played four games.
But
if one of these guys ends up making it to the NFL from this opportunity,
but that's the point.
Then that's
one
relevant.
Of them. It's going to be one of them.
Well, it could be more. It's been four games, and you're writing it off already. And here's the other thing about it.
It's the same as any other second-rate football league.
But okay, but at the same time, it's not. They're bringing in new rules. And I think that's what's also interesting is... Like, you look at the XFL the first time, it was a massive failure, but there were things that were taken away from it, such as the Skycam, such as, you know, other things that the NFL implemented, and that's what's also interesting as a sports media professional, seeing the access that guys like Pat McAfee get on the sideline. Now, I think, I'm a huge Pat McAfee fan, but I think he had a little too much access. Like, I don't think you need a sideline interview to go during an entire possession. I think that's a little much. But, I mean, they can stand literally on the field of play during a game. Like, if he was standing on the 10-yard line, the ball was on the other side of the field. I think that's incredible. To get that kind of point of view from an analyst, that's innovative. That is interesting to me. And I get that you love high school football, but what does high school football really have in meaning?
I mean, it has a lot more meaning. It's more meaningful to a community.
But again, it's a meaningful to a small community. But I mean, but like at the same time, like this is a national thing that could generate a lot of money to cities.
Yeah, but how many people would you say were at that Vipers game yesterday?
They averaged like 19,000.
Okay, the Massa McKinley game drew 19,000.
That's one game.
You can also bet on that game in Vegas if you want to.
Okay, I get that, but that's one game, and that's what I'm saying. And I get that you like Maslin more and everything, but this is an opportunity. I think this could be something that could be an alternative route, maybe, if it's successful for college athletes who want to make money and don't want to stay in college. They could go play for this league. I think it could be a developmental league, and you know, like it could be like a D league. There's no minor league for football like there is for baseball and basketball. I think this could be a good option. I'm not saying it needs to be an amazing product, but you can't write it off after 1 week.
Because I watched it and because I looked at the guys that were playing, like. I saw Matt McGloin was playing. Like, I've seen Matt McGloin play in the NFL, and there's no reason.
But you watch college basketball, and you know everyone on the court?
I mean, I know
you
a
don't know
of players.
Name me seven women college basketball players that aren't from Stark County.
Okay, there's Sabrina Ionesco.
Well, okay, the one everyone knows.
There's J.C. Sheldon.
Okay.
Who plays for Ohio State. Those are about all I know.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying.
But I'm saying the point is... That to me, that is much more entertaining to follow because it's something that I know about that I actually care about. Why should I care about the XFL?
Because it's football. It's professional football.
Okay,
it's a new league.
I'm tired of people just saying it's football. Like, I like football during the season that football is in season. Then I go to basketball. Then I go to baseball. Then I go back to football. I want to have seasons. I don't want just year-round football that's crap. What's the point of that?
I mean, I would argue that this wasn't as bad as some people thought it was going to be. I thought this was a little bit better than the AAF. As someone who watched more than five plays, I would say that from 1 week, yes. I'm excited to see where this goes. Again, I don't think this is ever going to be like a USFL where it's going to be competitor to the NFL. But I think if the NFL works with this, this could be a product that could work, and it's something that the NFL could learn from in certain things, and it could be like an experiment league as well.
The thing is, besides like Matt McGloin and like Cardell Jones and Aaron Murray, I didn't recognize any of the other names but in the XFL.
You get guys who get an opportunity to get recognized, John.
Okay, Garrett Gilbert was part of the AAFL. And
AAF, you mean?
Yeah, AAF. I tried to say AAF and I couldn't get the two A's
okay,
out.
You're
in
good,
time.
You're good.
The AAFL. And he was a part of the Browns like roster this past year. He was just a marginal backup.
Okay, and I get that, but that, again, that's 1 year, dude. Like, let this play out. Let this try to develop. If this can develop into something, it could be something interesting. It could be something interesting. Unlike the Oscars last night, which is a good transition as we round up this show.
I would have watched the Oscars over XFL football, by the way.
Yeah, I probably would have.
Because
the
Oscars happen once a year.
Yes, and it's a more culturally important event.
I would
agree. What were your takeaways from the Oscar? Have you seen Parasite?
I haven't.
I have not.
I saw Marriage Story.
I haven't seen that one.
I saw The Irishman.
I have seen that.
And I saw, what else did I see? I saw another.
1917.
I didn't see that.
Joker.
I didn't see Joker.
Seen Joker.
I heard both of those were very good. Like, I heard all the films were good this year.
Yeah. I saw a good amount of the ones that were up for awards.
I mean, I want to see what won Best Picture. Like, I want to see Parasite. I want to see them just to, like, you know, say, well, I saw the Best Picture that year. Like, I think I've always seen the Best Picture except for The Shape of Water. I did not watch that movie. I couldn't bring myself to watch that movie just because it was too, like, it was almost too out there for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I could agree with that. I could agree with that. So, I think the big takeaway from the Oscars was, Joaquin Phoenix gave a speech that a lot of people are talking about today. I think a lot of people aren't watching the Oscars. Ratings show that. It's because these speeches have turned into, oh, it's my turn to become an activist.
I also think part of the reason though why people don't watch the Oscars as much anymore is because everything is released on like Netflix or Hulu. And not that people don't have those streaming services, but for like our parents, like they're still used to the thought of like movies are released in the theater. You know what I'm saying? Like
all the movies that were up for best film of the year were only one of them was a Netflix movie.
But the thing is that like it's still this thought that like a lot of this stuff is released on Netflix. Like The Irishman was released on Netflix.
Yeah.
So was Marriage Story.
Oh yeah, that's like, true. That was another one.
I'm trying to remember. Parasite, I don't think was in theaters.
Parasite was a foreign film.
So it's like
so it wasn't overseas.
Because you have that. It's tougher for people to want to watch it. It's the same reason why the Emmys aren't as important anymore, because lots of shows aren't on, you know, terrestrial cable anymore. So it's tough for people that are like of an older generation to understand why a show is important that's simply on, you know, Amazon. Like if you haven't seen The Marvelous Miss Maisel, like if you don't have Amazon, then, you know, how do you know how funny it is? Right? And for a lot of people, that's the takeaway why you don't watch it.
And I think another group of people don't watch it because, again, like what I was saying, it's the speeches. They've year by year, it's gotten more about activism. And I encourage activism. I really do. But I'm more of an actions over words kind of guy. And we had an interesting speech last night with Joaquin Phoenix.
I didn't think it was that interesting. After you showed it to me, I just thought it was just another speech.
I thought it was a whole if you haven't heard it, we don't have enough time to include it in the show here. But it was a whole bunch of nice generalities, like great wide range principles, like treating everyone well with respect. And then the only time he really narrowed in on anything was when he talked about baby cows and us using milk.
Yeah, but I think he was speaking about like humanity in a sense and how like we've just kind of come in and just like taken over everything, like that we maybe don't have a regard for all species of life.
So we're going to stop drinking milk?
No, I mean, I'm just saying that I think that's what his point was. I'm not necessarily going to make those changes myself, but I'm saying I can understand what he's saying without thinking that it's something that's like
I think if you took the milk part of that speech out, I think it would have been a great speech. Great is a stretch. I mean, it sounded like a very political speech. It was a whole bunch of, like I said, wide range you know, check all your boxes, but you don't really get into anything specific. Like, okay, well, how are we going to do this? What should we do?
He's also not really in a position to be able to, like, write new laws and, like, affect change like that.
Well, then, exactly. And that's my point, is I like Ricky Gervais's speech at the Golden Globe.
See, I wasn't a fan of his.
When he said, thank your family, thank your significant other, thank your God, and get off stage. I like that personally. I think we make that, like, you are not... I get you have a platform, but those people have that size of a platform when they're not on the stage. Maybe not the producers who win or the film editors who win or stuff, but like Joaquin Phoenix could get an interview with any national outlet and give that speech, the same speech, and it would have the same amount of effect, I would believe.
But when doing he's on it the on Oscars, not as many people or more people are watching it than if he's just on like
it's just hollow to me. CNN. It's just hollow to me because everyone likes to be this activist for 3 minutes on national TV and they feel like they've done something. I just feel like it's not. I don't know. I just think that it's become such a thing where you expect. It's like when someone dies and then everyone feels the need to go on social media and say like, man, I'm sad about this death. Like you can just be quiet and like also like be grieving. And you can also like recognize that things are wrong in this country and advocate for them to be right without making a big scene about it on national TV. Like I don't know. It's just like, dude, Why are we doing this right now? Why are we getting so deep right now? Just thank people. You had a great performance. Joker was an excellent movie. And why are we talking about milk?
But that's not what the takeaway was.
It was, though. I mean, that's...
What's the takeaway for you?
No, that's what the general population is talking about. Why is this guy bringing up milk today?
I didn't see it as that. I saw the speech as a whole. Again, I didn't watch it last night live, but when I watched it now, I viewed it as that he was talking about betterment of humanity. That's what I took it as.
And that's great. And I don't know. I really don't know if that's what his intentions were. Because if he just... It shouldn't even be something that's like confusing, though, is my point. Is it shouldn't be up for interpretation. Like, just be short, sweet, to the point. Thank people and leave. I don't get why that's that hard. If I ever win an award and I make it a political speech, I want you to punch me in the face.
I don't think I'd make it a political speech, but I wouldn't want a message that I give. I mean, I'm not just going to go up and like just thank people.
Why?
Because I want to speak about something.
Why?
Because it's an opportunity.
They didn't give you an award to be an activist. They gave you an award.
But
based
it's
on
not about that. It's about speaking for a point. It's about speaking with a message.
No, it's not, dude. You get these people are getting awards based on an acting performance. They're not getting awards based on being good people or bad people or whatever. That's the thing. These actors, they've lost sense of reality. It's like, dude, Patrick Mahomes doesn't give this speech about humanity when he wins MVP. You know, like other people get these awards and
okay, and Patrick Mahomes is different. LeBron James gets an award, he gives a speech about humanity and life and things
when
like that.
When he wins his MVP awards, no, he doesn't.
He hasn't won an MVP award in like 10 years, though.
But that's what I'm saying. Just anyone. Like, you could thank your family and your teammates and everything, your Heisman Trophy, you know? And if you're going to do it like Joe Burrow did it, you know, it was short, sweet, to the point. Like, just said, like, the Athens, Ohio thing, the food bank, and, like, that made a positive change, and that was great, but, like... It wasn't the sole sole point of his speech wasn't around that.
Was that his first Best Actor award? Had he won an Academy Award before?
Maybe, I don't know.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. If it's like, it's your first too, I mean, that kind of changes how you view it. You know, you want it to be something that's memorable for you.
I guess. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you just want an award because you're a good actor, dude. This isn't the Nobel Prize.
That's your opinion.
You're right.
I have a different one.
Okay. Thanks for listening, everybody. This one was tense. We'll get wacky on Wednesday. Next time you listen to
us.
Is that
what you're going
to
call it?
Wacky Wednesday. We'll see you then. I'm Noah Hiles.
John Bozica.
Thanks for listening to Lunchtime. All right. Forgot Noah's No Doubters. Real quick. Went, I forget what I did. I went 1-1 over my weekend picks because the third game, John, was postponed.
I think you're the only one that pays attention to these.
Yeah, I know. But my Noah's No Doubters for today, Detroit Pistons -3, Baylor Bears -6, and Arizona Coyotes, Moneyline +110. Lock them up, get rich. Thanks for listening. We'll see you Wednesday.